In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, in today's gospel, we see that our Lord allows himself to be tempted. And this is comforting for us, on the one hand, because it teaches us that temptation is something that is part of our life. Temptation happens to everybody. If our Lord himself, who is holiness himself, is tempted, then everybody is going to be tempted. Temptation does not depend upon how holy you are. Everyone is meant to be tempted. So temptation is not a sin. Just to have a temptation, whether it be from the outside or from the inside, is not of itself a sin. Because our Lord is completely without sin, yet we see him being tempted in the gospel. There is another extreme, however, and this is the extreme of those who, that, you know, the one extreme is when you think temptation is a sin, but the other extreme is when you think that temptation is no big deal, that you really don't have to worry about temptation, that you say to yourself, well, I'm meant to be tempted in this life, so I don't really have to pay much attention to temptation. I don't have to try to avoid being tempted because it's just going to happen anyway. There's a worse type of sinner than even that. Those who have a habit of grave sin, and yet they're constantly exposing themselves to temptations to that sin. They're not trying to avoid the occasions that lead them into that sin. They say to themselves, well, this time I'm going to be stronger. Or this temptation is not really that hard to fight, so I don't really have to avoid that temptation, even though they usually fall into the sin whenever they experience a temptation. So the fact is that while, of course, we're going to experience temptations in this life, yet it is our duty to try to avoid being tempted, especially when we are identifying that we're falling into habits of sin, especially habits of grave sin. We have the duty to try to avoid those occasions, what are called occasions of sin, in which we're likely to fall into that sin. So, in today's sermon, I just want to speak about what we mean by an occasion of sin and what we have to do to avoid the occasions of sin. So, first of all, we have to understand there are two elements to an occasion of sin. The first element of an occasion of sin, the first ingredient for an occasion of sin, is the fact that there is sin within us. We all have inclinations to sin. We all have habits of sin, what we call vices. For each one of us, we speak about our predominant fault. There are certain tendencies in us towards sin, inclinations towards sin. And for this reason, depending on what our inclinations to sin are, there's going to be situations that are going to be occasions of sin for us where these same situations will not be occasions of sin for someone else. Say you have one man who's an alcoholic and another man who's not an alcoholic, and there's a party. So for the one man who's not an alcoholic, going to the party is not going to be an occasion of sin to drunkenness, because he's not tempted to the sin. He doesn't have this tendency to get drunk within himself. Whereas for the other man who's an alcoholic, it is an occasion of sin for him to go to the party because there's going to be drinks there. And he's going to be tempted strongly, very strongly, to get drunk. So the first element of the occasion of sin is that we already have within us a certain inclination towards sin. And then the second element is precisely the occasion, that there is some external circumstance that invites us to fall into that particular sin. This is why we call it an occasion of sin. So some situation where my habit of sin is going to get triggered. It's called an occasion of sin because of the fact that if I don't have this situation, then I'm not going to fall into the sin. So I need the occasion to trigger that habit of sin that I have within myself. And if the trigger is not there, if the opportunity to commit the sin is not there, then of course I'm not going to commit the sin. So I have the habit of sin within me, but I also need a situation that's going to provoke me to commit that sin. That is the occasion of sin. So this discussion about what occasions of sin are really teaches us two things about the nature of sin. The first thing that it teaches us is that sin is much more a question of a choice of our will than of what we know. We all know, as Catholics, what we're supposed to be doing. We know what is good and we know what is evil. And yet, in the occasion of sin, that knowledge does not matter. I know that I'm supposed to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I'm supposed to behave as a Catholic. I know that I'm supposed to avoid sin. But when I'm in the occasion of sin, all of that goes out the window. And because of my weakness, because of my inclination towards sin, I fall into the sin by a choice of my will. We could walk up to ourselves after having committed the sin. We say to ourselves, "You just committed a sin. Do you realize that?" "Yes." "Did you know it was wrong?" "Yes, I knew it was wrong." "Why did you do it then, if you knew it was wrong?" And you would say, "Well, because I'm weak. Because I'm weak. I know I have the knowledge of the faith, and yet I still fall into sin." We have to be very aware of this. I believe in God. I love our Lord Jesus Christ. That's just not going to matter when I'm in the occasion of sin because of this weakness that is within me. I'm likely to throw all of my Catholic knowledge and belief out the window when there's this pressure, this external pressure, an enticement to commit a sin. I'm going to be willing to betray our Lord if the occasion is presented to me. This realization helps us have a healthy fear of the occasion of sin. It helps us be on our guard, not to be complacent and to think that, well, you know, because I know my faith, I don't have to worry about committing sin. No. Your knowledge of your faith is good. It's very good because you know, and it is a certain safeguard against committing sin. But there's also your will. And you are still liable to choose sin, even though you know it's wrong. This is what we do as human beings because we are weak creatures. Our knowledge is not going to save it. So I have to do more than knowing in order to avoid sin. I have to avoid the occasions that lead me to sin. The second thing that we learn from sin when we think about occasions of sin is that we are not going to commit sins if we don't have the opportunity to do so. You know how an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The easiest way for me to avoid committing a sin is simply not to give myself the opportunity to commit sin, where there's no possibility of me committing the sin. This is why the church always recommends to us to precisely avoid the occasions of sin. One thing that's so important for us to do, first of all, identify what are my inclinations to sin? What are the sins that are within me? What are my habits of sin? And then secondly, what are the persons, places, and things that lead me to commit this sin? Those are the occasions of sin. I should try to identify those, and I should try to remove them from my life. If I want to avoid sin, if I want to stop committing sin, if I want to serve our Lord, if I want to be a good Catholic, if I want to become holy, I got to stop sinning. And to do that, I've got to not give myself the opportunity. One of the easiest ways to avoid sin is not to give myself the opportunity of falling into these sins that I have a tendency to commit. Let's just take an example to illustrate what we're talking about. Let's consider the story of David and Bathsheba in the Old Testament. David was the king of Israel, and he was an impure man. He had this habit of impurity. And one day, he's walking on the top of his roof, of his flat roof, and he sees off in the distance a woman bathing herself. And this seeing this triggers the sin of impurity within him. It provokes a strong temptation within him to use his power as king to commit adultery with this woman. He, of course, is still free. He has the choice whether to commit the sin or not to commit the sin. But this occasion of sin for him that's triggered by an external circumstance provokes him to fall into the sin of adultery. And what happens after that? Does he say to himself, I'm an impure man. I must avoid this woman with whom I'm committing adultery because I'm going to keep falling into sin with her? No, that's not what he did. He continued to put himself into the occasion of the sin by continually carrying on this affair with this woman when he should have put her away. He should have said, we can't talk to one another anymore because we're falling into sin with one another. So when we talk about these occasions of sin, some of them we classify as being remote occasions of sin. Some of them we classify as being a near occasion of sin. A remote occasion of sin is an occasion where a situation where typically we're not going to fall into the sin. Whereas a near occasion of sin is a situation where most of the time we can anticipate most of the time in that situation, I'm going to fall into the sin. So let's go back to the party. Two men go to a party. One of the men only gets drunk once a year. And that party is going to be a remote occasion of sin for him. He typically doesn't get drunk. The other man gets drunk every week. Well, this party is going to be a near occasion of sin for him because he has a strong habit of getting drunk. And so it's a near occasion of sin. He anticipates, likely, I'm going to fall into mortal sin by going to this party. And we say that it's even already a mortal sin for him to place himself into that occasion of sin. So sometimes we have occasions of venial sin. For instance, I typically get into argument when I'm with this particular person. Sometimes we have occasions of mortal sin. I typically get into a fist fight on the occasion of when I'm with this person. So you can have occasions of venial sin. You have occasions of mortal sin. Of course, we have to recognize that it's often the entertainment that we make use of. It's the biggest occasion of sin for us today. As Catholics in this digital world, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, the websites we visit, these are often the biggest occasions of sin, and we tend to just be so inclined to make use of these things. We keep going back to them even though they're a danger to us. So the most important thing for us, my dear faithful, is that we identify the near occasions of grave sin in our life. If we have habits of mortal sin, what are the near occasions of grave sin, and how do I get rid of them? If I want to save my soul, I must get rid of these occasions of grave sin. I cannot anticipate that I will save my soul unless I remove these occasions of grave sin for my life. If a man has a smartphone, habitually views pornography on it, it's a near occasion of grave sin. If a boyfriend and girlfriend are falling into sin when they're alone together, then they are a near occasion of grave sin for one another. If every time a man goes to a casino, he spends all his money, Casino is a near occasion of grave sentiment. If a man, whenever he goes over his friend's house, he always smokes marijuana with him. That friend is an occasion, a near occasion of grave sin for him. When, as I say, when persons are in this situation where they have a near occasion of mortal sin, they must be willing to remove that occasion for them to even have a valid confession. And the reason for this is that you have to have a firm purpose of amendment in order for your confession to be valid. If you don't have the will to change when you go to confession and you have a habit of grave sin, then you're not really sorry for that sin. If you say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep doing it, then you're not really sorry. And so the spiritual authors speak about this where the priest is obliged to assure himself that the penitent has a firm purpose of amendment. And when there is a near occasion of grave sin, when this person has a near occasion of grave sin in his life, the priest has to check if the penitent is willing to take the steps necessary to remove that near occasion of grave sin. Because of the fact that if he's continually, if he's going to keep putting himself in the near occasion of grave sin, then it's clear he wants to keep sinning. He's not really sorry for that sin. He doesn't really want to change. I mean, we may want to receive Holy Communion, feel at peace with God again, but we cannot make peace with God until we resolve to break that habit of mortal sin. So the man who has a smartphone has to be willing to get a dumb phone, or he has to be willing to put a blocker on it that he cannot break. The boyfriend and girlfriend, they must either break up or they must pledge themselves that they will not be alone in a private place, that they will only be alone like in a public place going forward. The man who gambles simply must pledge himself to not going to the casino anymore. The man who's smoking marijuana with his friend, he must get rid of that friend. He must stop going over to the house of his friend. He must pledge himself. I promise, I'm not going to go over to my friend's house anymore. Because if he doesn't, then he's going to keep falling into the sin. And my dear faithful, this is just common sense. It's just common sense. If we really think that our soul is, it lives with the life of God, and that we lose that life, that eternal life, when we commit mortal sin, then of course, we're going to do everything possible in order to remove ourselves from that danger. Think about a person, if you had a person who was always falling down a particular flight of stairs, like 9 out of 10 times when this person would go down this flight of stairs, he falls and injures himself. Well, what's he going to do? He keeps hurting himself on this flight of stairs. Of course, he's not going to use that flight of stairs anymore. And his friends are going to say to him, no, don't go down that flight of stairs, because you might eventually die because you keep falling down this flight of stairs. How much more with our eternal soul? If this particular situation, person, place, or thing is causing me to lose the life of God, it's causing me to put my soul in a state of damnation, how much more should we be cautious and fear for the loss of our soul? So, my dear faithful, during this Lenten time, we must try to identify and remove occasions of sin from our life, whether they be our entertainment, bad companions, bad places, whatever that may be. We definitely show our love for our Lord when we remove from our life those things that lead us to betray him by sin. So let us take sin very seriously and do all that we can to avoid it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.